of God. It was just over a year ago. In fact, it was a year ago last week that my family and I were here in Australia for my wife and our 20th anniversary. And our anniversary is usually my wife and I, but when they found out we were coming to Australia and New Zealand, all of our three children wanted to go. So we had an anniversary with all of our kids and our friends, and we had a great time. It was last year, and we came in here to Sydney, Australia, and then got on a cruise and went to New Zealand, the beautiful country of New Zealand. And when we were coming back, something that I have not had any experience with in the past, but there was a wind, Pastor Harvey, that blew in Sydney Harbor. And the wind was so strong that the harbor master shut down the harbor. And so our boat, our cruise ship, it just circled around and around and around out there for like 5 or 6 hours. And when it came in, we were able to debark. We had missed our flight. And so I had seen on social media that Brother Charles Robinette was somewhere in the area. So I called him and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm at the Marriott." And I said, "So are we." We were literally at the same hotel. And we run into each other at different places around the world. I could spend the rest of the night just telling you all of these crazy stories. One time we were in the airport in Johannesburg, and I was with the missionary just about 30 minutes before, and we had been robbed as people had posed as police officers, and they were not. And that had happened about 5 minutes from the airport. So I had some items that were stolen off of me, but God was good and protected us. When we got to the airport, I filed a police report, and I could tell they weren't really concerned about it. So I thought, I'm going to at least get a sermon about it. So I got in the food court, and I started writing about how that the enemy is a thief, and, you know, he poses to be something that he's not. And, you know, they stole our keys so we couldn't move, and he causes you to be immobilized and all of this. And literally while I'm writing, there is my briefcase is sitting on top of my carry-on bag right there, and a guy comes up and grabs it and takes off with it. And without even thinking, I dove after him and tackled him. And in the middle of the food court in Johannesburg Airport, I'm rolling around with this guy, and he flips over, and it's Charles Robinette. So we're liable to have any kind of situation. So he tells me, he said, "Man, we're fixing to go and eat with Brother Stan Harvey and his daughter, and I'd love for you to meet him. They got a great revival church." And so we got together, and we had a wonderful time together. And Brother Harvey said, "We love the Wins Conference. We've seen the online, the messages." And I said, "We have been looking for a place to have a Wins Conference overseas. We think Sydney, Australia is the place to come." And so the wind blew, Brother Harvey, and the harbor master shut down Sydney Harbor. We got to spend that night with your pastor, and we planned this conference. The harbor master shut down the harbor, but heaven's master opened up the windows of heaven. And the wind of his spirit is blowing this weekend. And so we are so excited to be with you and to see what God is doing. And thank you, Brother Harvey, and your team, and this church, and this praise and worship team. Everybody has been so just amazing and made us feel at home. And we are excited at what God is doing, and we know this is just the beginning. I know you've been standing, so let me quickly turn your attention to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Brother Elms, thank you so much for your kind words. I love Brother Elms. He and I have been friends for a number of years, and the Lord put it on our hearts to start this conference, and we believe that there is a special anointing that is on the young adults and the millennials. There is an anointing. I know that the world is getting worse, but the Bible said where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So there is an anointing on this generation for this season, for this moment, for this time. And we are so thankful to be a part of that. Ezekiel chapter 37, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. That means they've been there a long time. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in that same book and same chapter in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say, full of grace and truth. For the next little while, I'd like to speak on this subject, the skeletons of time. The skeletons of time. Would you pray with me one more time? Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your anointing. We're thankful for this atmosphere that we know you're in this place. You are true to your word, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you will be in the midst of them. We ask you now, Lord, to anoint our hearts and minds, anoint our lips to speak your word without fear or favor. And I pray, oh God, that the Holy Ghost would have its way in this place, and that the unction and the anointing of God would break down every wall and every barrier. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated, and thank you so much for standing in honor of the word of God. The fullness of time is a phrase that is found in Scripture. It is intriguing. What exactly is the fullness of time? We as finite creatures have a tendency to live in the here and now. We also have a tendency to live in the realm of what we can see. We are natural beings in a natural world. But God is so much different in that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God functions ahead of us and above us and then waits for us to catch up. God puts something in motion and then waits for the proper time or the fullness of time to bring it into existence. Paul said in Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The book of Acts says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Ladies and gentlemen, the fullness of time is the manifestation of the miracle. It is the invisible becoming visible. It is the Word becoming flesh. John 1:1 that we read in our text. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But in verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's those 13 verses before the fullness of time that can sometimes keep you in fear and doubt. It's those 13 verses that are the valley of dry bones. Promises of potential that lay dormant, waiting for the fullness of time. How many times have we talked ourselves out of a miracle because we have not seen the manifestation of it yet? Some of you that are sitting in this place tonight, God gave you a promise many years ago, but that has been the time that you have marked from then until now. That is the skeletons of time. That is the seasons that come and go. And sometimes because we understand that we in our humanity have a shelf life, we sort of put those things aside, and because they haven't happened yet, we don't think they're ever going to happen. But I come tonight to tell you that everything that God has spoken, every word of God is not in vain. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. If God promised you that your spouse is going to be saved, I'm here to tell you, your spouse is going to be saved. If God promised you that your children are going to come back to Him, it's going to happen. But perhaps it hasn't happened yet because of the fullness of time. We lose our promise in the partial places of fulfillment. We do not see it materialize yet. And so we lose our miracle in the periods of time between the spoken word and the word made flesh. Romans 4:17, Paul says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. And listen to this, calleth those things that be not as though they were. In this passage of Scripture, Paul, the author, is talking about when God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. Father of a multitude. When Abraham only had one son, God changed his name. God gave him a word. Sometimes when God gives you a word, your circumstances don't agree with that word. The environment that you're in doesn't look like it's conducive to that word. But if God said it, you can take it to the bank. It's gonna happen. I saw a bumper sticker in the state of Florida where we live. It said this, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I saw that and I thought, that's pretty good. But as I looked at the bumper sticker at the red light, I realized it was faulty. It doesn't have to have, I believe it. All you need is God said it, that settles it. God doesn't need you and I to agree with Him. He's God all by Himself. He sits on the circle of the earth. Heaven is His throne, and earth is His footstool. So when He said, I'm going to change your name to Abraham because you're going to be the father of a multitude, this so tickled Abraham, he begins to laugh. He's the father of the faithful, but he's also a human. And he's calling him something that he had already spoken in the spirit world, but had not yet been made manifest in the natural world. It's only made manifest in the natural world in the fullness of time. What separates the spirit world and the natural world is time. But God is the master of timing. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord called Gideon a mighty man of valor when he approached him in Judges chapter 6. Gideon appeared to be anything but a mighty man of valor. He'd never killed a mouse, much less a Midianite. He had insecurities and complexes. He had hang-ups and fears. And Gideon said, "You got the wrong guy. You've been sent to the wrong address. I don't have the pedigree. I don't have the track record. I don't have the personality for it. I'm the least of the least." And God said, "You're a mighty man of valor." I want to preach to some young adult right now. I don't care what the enemy has said to you. You don't disqualify yourself. If God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. God will jump over a whole crowd of self-righteous hypocrites to find one hungry individual that says, "I want to be used of God." So God does not wait for time to reveal it. He speaks it and lets it become visible in the fullness of time. Paul said in Galatians, there's no difference between the heir and the servant, though the heir is Lord of all. There's no difference until the time appointed by the Father. The heir has a future interest, but until the future interest becomes a present interest, he's just like every other kid. That interest has to vest, or it has to be triggered at a particular time. And the Father is the one who determines where and when the trigger point is. You say, "Well, I'm ready right now for God to give me a miracle." He's the master of timing. He decides when the time is full. He decides whenever it's time for your future interest to become a present interest. You see, A to B, for as long as B shall live, and then to C. Well, B has a life estate, but C has a future interest. And so something has to happen to trigger that. Well, it's the testator or the person who established the inheritance that has the right to say when it's going to trigger. Can I tell you, Hebrews talked about this. You don't have to worry about who Jesus is. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's not Jehovah Jr., because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it takes the death of the testator for a future interest to vest. In other words, it had to be God manifest in the flesh that went to Calvary. Otherwise, you don't have a New Testament. You don't have a new covenant. You don't have a new contract. It took the testator. So here we all are, marking time. That kid running around in the pickup truck with his dad in Bentonville, Arkansas, looks like every other kid, though his last name is Walton and his dad owns Walmart. You can't tell he's worth $4 billion. His dad says, till he's 21, that's the fullness of time for him. He's going to be like every other kid. He's going to play flag football. He's going to fall down. Gonna get banged up. We're gonna put on band-aids, learn how to work a lemonade stand, cut the grass. I'm his dad. I'm one of the wealthiest men in the world. And I decide when the fullness of time is for my son. But until then, he's gonna be like everybody else. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You and I have a heavenly Father. He's more wealthy than Elon Musk. You can't tell by just looking at me that I'm worth $40 trillion. You can't tell right now that I'm going to reign as a king on this earth. You can't tell right now that my Father, he's got something in store for me. I look like everybody else. You look like everybody else. But you can't see what the devils can see. And the only hope the enemy has is to get you to renounce your inheritance before you realize how wealthy you are.
your Father. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he sits on the circle of the earth. Heaven is his throne. He owns the cattle of 1,000 fields. But the fullness of time reveals it. But when the fullness of time has come, God sends forth his Son. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before man was ever created, God had already created the Messiah, which is why the Bible says we were created in his image. How could that be if God is a spirit? It is because Jesus was the model. He was the prototype. From the very beginning, he was the first fruits. He was the original. Not only was Jesus already the form of God, he was already the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Before there was ever a human being to commit a sin, there was already a redeemer. It took the fullness of time for it to be revealed. It took the fullness of time for the Word to become flesh. But God had already spoken it into existence. Some of you think you're here because a friend invited you. Some of you think you're here because you got family and church. I've come to tell you, you're here because God's got a plan for your life. That God's got a destiny for you. That God's got a calling for you. You're not here by accident. You're not just marking time. You're not just down here breathing oxygen. You are God's special chosen generation. There is nothing about your life that is a surprise to God. He's not surprised by your circumstances. He's not surprised by your choices. He's made a way of escape before you or I even realized that we were in danger. He told Ezekiel, go down to the valley of dry bones and asked a rhetorical question. Can these bones live? He doesn't ask you a question because he doesn't know the answer. He asks you a question to make a point. Can these bones live? Ezekiel gave the safe answer that we like to give. Thou knowest, Lord. What are these bones that God is referring to with Ezekiel? They are promises that have become dry with the passing of time. They're old prophecies that have not come to pass yet. But God wants us to know. And he asks us these questions because he's trying to reveal something to us. That you think is dead is not dead. I know it's been a while. And it may just be a skeleton of time. But these bones are going to put on flesh. These promises are going to come to pass. That's why David could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is not my final destiny. This is just a season. This is just a valley. This is just a moment, but I've got a God that in the fullness of time is going to cause my miracle to be made manifest. These bones did not have flesh yet. They were just a word. All they had was a word. Sometimes all you have is a word. And the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy. When all you got is the bones, speak, prophesy. The fullness of time speaks to the urgency of the moment. It's a call to awaken, a completeness to the time of preparation, a bullhorn that shouts to the change in the seasons. And all he says for Ezekiel to do, I'll do the miraculous. I'll cause the flesh and the sinews, the ligaments to snap back in place. I can do what only I can do, but you just speak the word only. I believe every day, Pastor Harvey, we ought to stand up. Every morning you wake up, you ought to know there's a God by the mere fact that you woke up. Do you know every time you wake up out of sleep, it's a resurrection? You're going from an unconscious state to a conscious state. He's resurrected you a number of times. That's why it's not hard for me to believe that at that day in the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. He's been the God of resurrection our entire life. So when we get up in the morning, it ought not to be, oh, no, it's Monday. Oh, no, it's Tuesday. We ought to get up and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will bless the Lord at all times. Man, I remember when I was a teenager and I liked sleep. I didn't want to get up early for school. I didn't want to get up at all. I just wanted to sleep forever. Now that I got 20-year-old identical twin boys and a 14-year-old daughter, I understand what they're going through. I think they're all just Rip Van Winkles. They just sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep. And that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep all the time. But I remember that there was a group that was a Christian group. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this group. It was a teenager. This has been a few years ago. But I remember I got a hold of an album. This is the old days. This is even before cassette tape. This is back when we had them vinyl things that looked like Frisbees. And you'd put them on a phonograph. And you had a needle that you put down. And it would follow all the valleys and hills in the record. And it'd play a song. And there was a group back in the day. And it was called the Mighty Clouds of Joy. Don't make Brother Elms and I come up here and do a duet. But I remember one morning, the Mighty Clouds of Joy were playing on the record player. And I heard him singing this. Well, I woke up early this morning. My heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. And I can't remember all the words, but it's something about him going to a window and opening up and a bird singing. He said, hey, I'm going to find something to rejoice about every day that I live. You ought to get up every morning and say, Lord, I speak your promises into existence in my life. I'm an overcomer. I'm a child of God. You've made me the head and not the tail. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. A number of years ago when I was in law school, I had the opportunity to study in Oxford for one summer on an exchange program with comparative law studies. And so I got the opportunity to study under these judges, Supreme Court judges and all this. And they knew that I was a preacher. And so there was one particular weekend that the students at Oxford had been invited to go to the Inns of Court in London. And it was to be a very special occasion. And we had to wear these black robes and all the regality of it. And they said, David, we'd like to ask you to pray when we go to the Inns of Court. You'll be sitting at the head table with the judges, and you'll be wearing a black robe, and they'll ask for you to pray, and we'd like for you to say the prayer before we eat this meal at the Inns of Court, a building that's, whatever, 600 years old. And I said, oh, I'd be honored. Thank you so much. They said, well, there's something we want to tell you. When you pray, don't pray in Jesus' name, because that may offend some of the other students. And I went, oh, well, you know I'm a Jesus name preacher. They said, we know, but you can just pray and use the general terms. And then they said, when you pray, don't say our Heavenly Father, because there's others that may be offended by that. And so just kiddingly, I said, what about if I just pray and say, to whom it may concern? They said, oh, that would be real good. That would be good. So I said, okay. So they got us in our robes. And we all went down there to the Inns of Court, got on a bus from Oxford to London. They took us in, and it was all this sophistication and all this pomp and protocol. And they set me up here at the table. And I'm sitting up at the table with my black robe on. And under my breath, I'm praying and saying, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. I'm looking around at this. I don't know what all's happened in that room all over the years, but I know one thing. The fullness of time has come for David Ellis Myers to be sitting in this place with Supreme Court judges. I may not ever get this opportunity again. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me courage. So they finally introduced me. They said, Reverend Myers, going to pray. So I stood up real slow. I said, little tall bow, go ahead. When I looked around and all the heads were bowed and the eyes were closed, I threw my hands up in the air as high as I could. And I said, Dear Jesus, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you're the giver of life. I thank you that you've given me breath to breathe. I thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you bless everybody in this building in the name of Jesus Christ. They all kind of looked at me like that in one eye. Finally, after it simmered down a little, this one old judge, he stood up. He said, That was very interesting. So afterwards, one of my professors from Oxford said, Now, you remember we told you you couldn't do that. You weren't supposed to do that. And I said, I know I wasn't, but you knew what you was getting when you asked me. And I said, I don't know how long it's been in that building since somebody's called on the name of Jesus. But on my watch, I'm not going to be silent. There's some skeletons of time that are in that room. It's been a long time since them judges acknowledged that we all need God. But the fullness of time brought me to this moment to prophesy. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my strength. Everything I need, I find in Him. I say to you tonight that we have arrived at such a time in 2024. The slippery slope of secularism has been planting the seeds of a godless society. But God is not naive. He's not unaware or an absentee deity. God has not lost track of time or the condition of humanity. God has allowed the sands of time to fall through the hourglass for the purpose of bringing us to this year, to this conference, to this moment, right now. This God that created the worlds around us on a schedule of creation days, mark the beginning and ending of floods, fires, fighting, and freedom. The birth, the blessing, the promise, the plan, generations, kingdoms, deliverance, destruction. He knows a thing or two about the fullness of time. And he marks the moment with a cry, with a shout, with a declaration, by the mouth of an angel, by the song of a shepherd, by the sword of a king, or the pen of a prophet. The fullness of time is not a secret. An angel called Gabriel and a trumpet will announce the fullness of time very soon, and we shall be caught away to meet him in the air. Stand still and see the salvation of God. The prophet Moses thundered across what looked like an impossible situation. But for 400 years of slavery, the skeletons of time had come face to face with the fullness of time. And there was a clash of the titans. And when he spoke the word, a raging sea and a furious army could not stop the fullness of time in the desert of Egypt. We will not sit down until he arrives. The prophet Samuel declared, as an uninvited shepherd boy named David was summoned by his surprised father, the fullness of time would not sit down until the promise had been fulfilled. A heavenly host and a blazing star announced the fullness of time in Bethlehem. And today I stand before you to proclaim the time is fully come. The skeletons of time are putting on flesh. Sinews, ligaments are coming back. Flesh is covering the bones. I stand here before you in the truth of Scripture to proclaim the time is fully come. The time to repent is here because the time of sin is fully come. The time to be healed is here because the time of sickness is fully come. The time to pray is here because the time of spiritual indifference is fully come. If totalitarianism tried to take the 20th century, then the tyranny of sin is trying to take the 21st century. And I know that evil and unrighteousness has reached an elevated state in our time. But I want to echo the words of Churchill as he spoke to the House of Commons on June 4th, 1940, he said, and I quote, "I have myself full confidence that in all do their duty and nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once again able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, and to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessity for years, and if necessary alone, at any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them, that's the will of Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even through large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen and may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all of their odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until in God's good time, that's the fullness of time. Until in God's good time, the new world, I said the new world, with all of its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old." End of quote. That's a man who they said was a 19th century man that was parachuted into the 20th century. A man that would stand in the gap at a time when the world needed somebody that would declare, "We shall never give up. I feel like there's something rising in this generation. Something is coming up to the surface. This valley of dry bones is going to stand up a mighty army. The bones are going to take on flesh. And the wind of God's Spirit is blowing. All God needs is an Ezekiel that'll prophesy. Time has fully come for my generation and your generation to carry the torch of righteousness. We choose to serve God, and we strive to live right, not because of a mandate from past generations, but because of the urgency of the hour, because of the fullness of time. I believe the day of Pentecost is fully come. I believe that this is the time of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is the time of a physical demonstration of being Spirit-filled. what happened when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord. If there's ever been a time of unity, it's now. 2024 is the year that we're more unified than ever. It takes no ability, no intelligence or character to be a critic, but it takes a man or a woman of God to lay aside differences and to seize the moment of time. Once you have unity, you have a sound from heaven. The time has fully come for a clear, anointed sound from heaven. The sound from heaven is a call to repentance. The sound from heaven is the sound of chains breaking. The sound from heaven is the sound of God's power, of a rushing, mighty wind of God's Spirit. I don't know about you, but I can feel it in this house. I hear the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. You can stand to your feet. I'm coming to a close. The next thing that happened is that it filled the house. The time has fully come for a spiritual saturation. We need something that can fill the house, fill every room, fill every purpose, every person. We don't need a selected spiritual outpouring. We need something that can fill our hearts, our homes, our marriages and ministries, sons and daughters. Time has fully come. I said the time has fully come. That's why you're having to go to multiple services, because there's full houses right here at the Pentecostals of Sydney, because the time has fully come. This is the time to be an apostolic Pentecostal. The next thing that happened was that there appeared unto them. The time has fully come for an appearance, a heavenly appearance. The time has fully come that our appearance reflect God's presence. The time has fully come for an appearance in the eastern sky. The next thing that happened when the time was fully come was that they begin to speak. The time has come in 2024 to speak forth the promises of God's word. We've been quiet long enough. We've held our peace long enough. It's time for the church to arise, to clear your voice, speak forth the words of truth, speak forth your testimony, rise up and speak forth your cry of repentance, speak forth your prayers of intercession, speak forth in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. The time has fully come to fight sin by speaking righteousness. Declare it. Lift up your voice and declare it. Speak over the valley of dry bones and watch God rise and bring an army to its feet that will usher in every miraculous prayer that you have prayed. All over this building right now, would you lift your hands and your voice? And would you begin to declare the mighty promises of God's word? The time has fully come. That's it. Lift your voice and speak it right now in the name of Jesus.
Come on, lift up your voice. Go ahead and minister to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your voice. That is the gateway of the wind of God to move. Come on, go ahead and prophesy. Go ahead and speak the word of faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want everybody, I want you to use your voice to sow the seed of faith that God is going to perform right now. I want everybody to use your voice, your tongue, and I want you to say right now. Everybody say those words right now. Say it again right now. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them now, you will receive your miracle. Now, hang on a second. It's easy for you to declare that for someone else, isn't it? But when your child is sick, when your marriage is broken, when your bank account is empty, I want you to take your finger and point it at yourself and say, self, right now, I will receive a miracle. I was going to preach this tomorrow, but I feel like I should give it to you right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 from the New Living Translation, it says, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Here it is. Indeed, the right time is not tomorrow, not next year. The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Hang on a second. So if you need a miracle, it's going to happen right now. How many of you have a need in your body of healing that you want God to heal right now? Would you wave your hand to Jesus? You've got a need in your body of sickness, pain, disease, fatigue, migraine, whatever it might be. I want you to wave a hand. And as you lift your hand, say right now, 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 not on the day of resurrection. He's the resurrection right now. He's the life. He's the healing. He's the way. He's the deliverance. He's the salvation. He's the very present help in my time of trouble. Keep your hand up if you want healing tonight in your body. What I want you to do when I say the word now, I want you to get into this altar as fast as you can. When I say that word now, when I say that word, you're going to get everybody out of your way and you're going to get up into this altar. You're going to come with faith like that lady who said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I can be completely made whole. There's other needs in this service tonight. I feel the Lord's going to minister to. There's people in this service that have come needing a work of deliverance in your life. Let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean you're lost, you're a sinner going to hell. It means you're in a situation that you can't get yourself out of, and you need the way maker to step into your storm and make a way where there seems to be no way. If you have a need like that, I want you to raise your hand. Some of you are fighting mental problems, anxiety, financial, emotional, family problems, that you're in a storm and you're saying, Jesus, my own ability cannot silence the wind and waves blowing against my home. I need you to show up. Come on, lift your hand if you have that need of deliverance in your life. There's needs all over this house. There are people who have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. There are those who are going to be refilled with the Holy Ghost tonight. When I say that word, you're going to get in this altar as quickly as you can. And there's not going to be any hesitation about it, but you're going to come quickly. You're going to come boldly. You're going to come lifting up your hands and approaching the throne of your everlasting Father. And when you lift up your hands in this house and you begin to pray, not complain, but you begin to praise God, the wind of God is going to blow. So why don't you come right now, right now, into this altar. Come on, quickly. Don't be cute about it. Move quickly. get into this altar with desperate faith. With desperate faith. That's it. Lift your hands. I need some apostolic men and women right now. I want you to get your hands on somebody. I want you to lay your hand on their head. And I want you to begin to prophesy in the name of Jesus. As you lift up your hands, I want you now to lift up your voice. And in the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus, receive your healing right now. Be healed. Be delivered, be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. This is what I want us to do. I want everybody to listen for just one moment. I feel we need to have some direction here. If you can hear me, I feel directed of God to position us right now. Amen. Hey, I want you to hear this. How many of you believe that Jesus can show up and in one moment can take care of every need in this room? I believe God can do that. But I feel very specifically that there's going to be a couple of waves of His Spirit flow into this service right now. I really feel like the Lord has directed me to say, I want you to take a few moments because there are some very urgent physical needs in this service right now. There are some physical needs represented here by your faith, your response. And I feel the compassion of the Lord. You remember reading in the New Testament how many times it would say that Jesus had compassion. He was moved with compassion for them. Some of them didn't even believe in Him. They didn't follow Him, but yet their sickness moved Him with compassion. Their disease moved Him with compassion. And He didn't walk up to them and say, hey, will you accept me as your personal Savior and be baptized and do this? He just walked up to them and said, by your faith, you are completely made whole. He was so moved with compassion for their need. He was not concerned about their faith tomorrow. He said, you have faith right now. Man. By your response, you have revealed to God you have faith. There's people that may feel inadequate and say, well, I don't have as much faith as she does or as he does. But you have enough faith because your faith has brought you in to His presence. Your faith has brought you into this altar. You have already begun to lift up your hands and worship the Lord. But right now, as somebody say, right now, there's going to be a wind of healing move through this service. I feel like the Lord is saying, I have compassion upon you. I have compassion for your needs. So this is what I want to ask us to do right now. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. If you have a physical need, an urgent need of healing in your body, I want you and only you to lift up your hands right now. You have a need of healing in your body, whatever it might be. Hallelujah. Now, I need some men and women who are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, to find somebody who has their hands lifted. And I want you to partner with them right now. That's it. Go ahead. And right now, I want you to lay your hand right upon their head, where it's appropriate, man to man and lady to lady. unless there's a, unless you have a, you have a relationship with that person, I want you to lay your hand upon their head. And when I say in the name of Jesus, the wind of healing is going to blow through this altar by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and let the winds of healing flow through your body. I set you free. In the name of Jesus, I set you free. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, you are healed even now. You are healed now. You are healed right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. You to change how you are praying. If you can hear me, this is what you need to do right now. Some of you are praying hoping that God's going to heal. You need to move into a realm of dominion and authority. Some of you are speaking saying, God, please heal them. God, please heal them. Some of you are praying for the healing saying, God, please heal me. God wants you to move in authority right now. It sounds completely different. And because it sounds different, it feels different. When you walk into the throne room of God, knowing I am His child, bought with His own blood, I don't have to ask for it. I say right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to speak with authority. Speak with authority. of the Lord is not over, but there's miracles that took place right now. Amen. So I want you to take a moment. If you had some of you had needs that you may not know, they weren't in a specific type of situation that when God takes it away, you would know right away. But there's many in here that you had a need that when God took it away, you instantly felt to change. I want you to, if there's any way you can kind of inspect right now, if your back was hurting and you prayed for healing in your back, I want you to move around. If your shoulder was hurting, I want you to begin to move that around. Just 2 weeks ago, back home in Texas, there was a first-time visitor that came up to the altar. She was in her wheelchair at the altar, and she was a first-time visitor. And we prayed for her, and people had already been praying. She had been at the altar for at least 10 minutes already. And I walked down the steps there, and I began to pray. She was already speaking in tongues. I thought, wow, she's already got the Holy Ghost. And the person that brought her said, no, she doesn't. She didn't have the Holy Ghost. I said, look, she's speaking in tongues. She was speaking in tongues for the first time, and no one was there walking her through it, you know, and telling her how. She was speaking in tongues for the first time. And so I asked her, I said, as she was praying and receiving the Holy Ghost, I said, why are you in this wheelchair? She said, I don't have any feeling in my legs at all, and I have not walked in many, many, many years. And I said, well, God just filled you with the Holy Ghost, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we're going to pray right now that God heals your body. And so we prayed, and I said, do you feel anything yet? She said, no, not really. I said, well, let's go a step further. Amen. You know, when you're desperate, you're willing to go as far as it takes. I said, put your arm around my shoulders here. And so she put one arm around my shoulders and another arm around someone else. And we lifted her up. And she still wasn't feeling anything in her legs until she began to say, I am healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. She ended up taking both of her arms off of those she had around my neck and the person next to her. She stood all by herself and started going like this, I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the God I serve. What kind of power does the God you serve have? If you serve the same God I serve, he's got the same power yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you need just a moment to stretch out for a second, if you know that God has touched you, if you feel any relief from that pain or fatigue in your body, if there's anybody that says, my God, I feel different already, would you lift a hand and worship the Lord and testify to that? God has already touched my body. He's already started the miracle. He's already done the work. And by his stripes, I am healed. We're going to pray again. There's another win right here the Lord wants to do. See, this is where a lot of us, you know, veteran Pentecostals, we say, okay, got my drink, got my fix, got my buzz. Amen. And we can drive home buzzed in the Holy Ghost, but God wants to saturate you, intoxicate you in his Spirit. Amen. Some of y'all are so saved, y'all don't know what I'm even talking about. Amen. There's a wind of deliverance. I feel so strong here. Amen. There's people in this room. I could define your entire existence right now with one word, overwhelmed. 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 You don't have to raise your hand, but in your spirit you can testify to what I'm saying right now. Overwhelmed. It seems like no matter how hard you work, no matter how late you stay up, no matter how early you wake up, it seems like you cannot gain any ground. For every one step you gain, it seems like you lose 10 steps. It feels like you're on a treadmill running at full speed, but not making any ground, not making any progress. And it just feels like, God, I'm never going to get through this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody could testify to that right now. You feel overwhelmed. There's anxiety. Let me tell you what happens when you feel that overwhelming sensation, that fatigue and weariness. That's where Satan begins to talk. That's where Satan begins to plant little seeds of voices. He begins to speak things that are so outlandish, things that are not a part of your own thinking or identity. He'll begin to say things like, God's not even real. God doesn't exist. And if there is a God, he doesn't know who you are. He doesn't love you. And then if he can't convince you of that, he'll at least say, yeah, God's not going to use you. I've seen what you've been doing. You've not been faithful. Oh, sure, you come to church here and there, but you've really not been faithful in between the services. How could God use somebody like you? I'm here to let you know right now, that voice is being silenced tonight. I feel a wind of deliverance and rest for your body and rest for your mind. I feel a wind of God that's about to say, peace, peace. Yeah. The Holy Ghost is about to show you he is your comforter for your mind, for your soul, for your spirit, for your emotions. You don't have to carry that weight anymore. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Lay down the heavy burden. Lay down the yoke of anxiety. Let my anointing destroy that yoke. So this is what you need to do right now. Every eye closed, nobody looking around. Because there's people that are suffering with such anxiety that you would feel even the spirit of nervousness to respond to these words, because you might be intimidated by those around you. No one is looking around right now. But if you know, again, it does not categorize you as a sinner or lost. It categorizes you as a child of God that says, I need you right now, Jesus. Can't do it, God. 24 hours is not enough time to get it all done, Lord. There's no way I can pay it off. There's no way, God. There's no way I can figure it out. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you right now. I want you to place your hands over your own head. Yeah. There's a scripture that talks about David going to the house of the Lord and anointing himself. Somebody needs to lay both of your hands on your head. And you need to go ahead and prophesy right now and say, I prophesy deliverance to my mind. I prophesy clarity to my confusion, deliverance to my darkness, light where it's been dark, hope where there's been hopelessness, rest for my weariness. Go ahead and prophesy the helmet of salvation over my thoughts, over my soul, over my mind. I will not leave bound by anxiety no more. That's it. Go ahead and prophesy. Speak it out. Speak it out. These are the last words I'll speak in this microphone tonight. Keep your hands over your head right now, every eye closed. I want you to image what God is telling us to do. The Lord would say right now, just a moment, at the exact same moment in unity, when I say in the name of Jesus, you're going to take your hands off your head. You're going to do two other things. You're going to lift up your hands as a sign of surrender and a sign to receive. At that time you lift up your hands, you're going to lift up your head. Lift up your head. That's what you're going to do in just a moment when I tell you to. And when you lift up your head, the weight is going to come off your shoulders. The yoke will be destroyed. And when you lift up your hands in just a moment, nobody's doing it now. We're going to do it in unison. When you lift up your hands, God is going to refill you with His Spirit. Every person in this room, whether you've had the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes or 55 years, you're going to be refilled with a fresh baptism of His Spirit. And out of your belly is not going to flow nervousness, fear, doubt, and anxiety, but out from your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. When I say in the name of Jesus, that is your signal to lift up your hands and lift up your head and lift up your voice, and God's going to refill you with His Spirit as if it were the very first time. By the authority of the Word of God, get ready for fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh anointing. Rivers of living water shall spring forth upon you tonight. Right now, in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands and lift up your head and open your mouth and be refreshed right now. Speak in other tongues.